Stevie here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Ron Fungus episode. My favorite part of his interview was finding out that he was stoned while recording the Scissor Bros podcast. I had no idea. Thanks for tuning in. Peace. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome, for the first time on the podcast, comedian and actor Ron Fungus. Thanks for coming, man.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
I love your voice, by the way.
Thank you.
I thought when I started hearing it more, I'm like, is it? I didn't know if it was like your real voice. That's why when I heard you, you know, you just did Scissor Bros, and I heard you more and more. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, that's his real voice.
Oh, did you think I was holding on to a character?
I maybe because we, you know, we did characters that podcast. You know, you guys did your Marvel superheroes. And I'm like, see, what is going on? But it's reassuring and comforting knowing that that's your real voice.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I feel like I would be a psychopath if this was fake voice that I've been holding on for the public eye for the past 15 years. Yeah.
Now, growing up, did you ever get bullied because maybe someone thought, oh, he wasn't tough enough, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course, Steve. I sound like this.
Yeah, and so where did you grow up in and everything?
I grew up mostly in the south side of Chicago. I mean, I moved around a bit. I was born in Gardena here in California. But I moved to Chicago when I was 4.
Shout out to Common.
I'm also from Chicago.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. They have great music. A lot of good hip-hop comes from that area, right? Is Kanye from there, too? Kanye's from there, too.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to Common. He used to be known as Common Sense.
Yeah, he did.
And he did a lot of work with De La Soul and groups like that. As you can see, I'm an avid fan of 90s hip-hop here.
Yeah, you feel like you like a lot of Tribe Called Quest.
I love, you know, rest in peace, Fife Dog. When he passed, it really affected me, like, deeply, you know, because I grew up with that music, you know.
Yeah, of course. I love it, too. A lot of my comedy is influenced by Native tongues in general and stuff.
Write that down. I didn't. Oh, you kind of threw a curveball at me. Not a lot of people know about that.
Well,
everyone's on Trippie Redd or stuff.
Okay.
I don't know the new stuff.
Me neither.
Future, Trippie Redd.
I try to know some of the new stuff, but I feel like even the newer stuff I know is older.
Yeah.
Because still, like, a lot of my favorite rappers are still, like, in their 30s and stuff, so they gotta be older.
Yeah, mine are probably in their 50s or 60s. Yeah, mine are, like, because I'm caught in this, I guess, this capsule where I don't know what's out now, but, like, I still bump the stuff from, like, 89 to 94, 95.
Yeah, I think that's okay. I think as you get older, we're supposed to be kind of sectioned off into groups so that we don't, you know, you're not supposed to be hanging out with 20-year-olds and 22-year-olds. You're supposed to not know the stuff that they know. You know? So
Have you heard the style of music they listen to, this trap rap stuff?
Yeah, I mean, my
son. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts?
I mean, I try to find value in all music. Mm. I feel like when you get old and bitter and that stuff, it's like getting old and bitter in comedy. When people are like, oh, there's no good comedians anymore. You hear that a lot,
right?
Oh, comedians are afraid to say stuff, and I was like, I can say whatever I want all the time. Right. I don't know what you're talking about.
That's so interesting. So it's kind of like the way we grew up with the backpack kind of rap stuff. Mm-hmm. That's their version of it now, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, you guys are just not down. This is what's going on. Yeah,
because it's like, you know, it's similar to a lot of pro wrestling where they're like, oh, if you're not the type of comedians that were doing coke and setting yourself on fire and, you know, just attacking people in the streets, then you're not a real comedian for some reason. But it's like, no, things just change. You can't do that. Mm-hmm. But nor do I want to do that, you know.
You mentioned pro wrestling because me and my brother, we kind of grew up with all that stuff. And I kind of briefly talked about it. There you go. That's all you. I'll enjoy one with you. So these are sweet tarts.
And this one says rock.
And this one says fresh.
Nice.
So what did it say yours?
Rock.
Fresh rock.
Nice.
We grew up with all that stuff. Like I remember Hulk, you know, when Hulk did, you know, did that. And I love Coco Beware and Hillbilly Jim, but what fascinated you about that whole spectacle of pro wrestling?
Just bright colors, like things crashing into each other. People were being loud.
Yeah, was it the drama too? Because they really, it was kind of like acting, like it was like high level, like really drama, calling people out, right?
Yeah, but it got in there early, so it was really just like how wild it was and colorful and how, you know, the red and the yellow and the tassels of the Ultimate Warrior and the face paint and all that stuff.
Now, wasn't there an announcer that got involved? Is it something McMahon or... There was an announcer, and then he started wrestling too, but he was an announcer, but they called him out. What was his name? Was it McMahon or Bruce something?
You're going to have to give me more information.
Now, are you highly into like the British Bulldogs? You know how they had these duos and stuff. And where did that all start with you?
What do you mean by that, Steve?
As far as who were the first, like, who was the first duo that you saw on TV? Like, I like that.
Like Abbott and Costello. Probably my favorite first duo that I saw. Lucy and Ricky. But then in wrestling, it would probably be the Legion of Doom, Hulk and Animal.
And as far as Hulk Hogan's legacy, do you think he had, like, a pretty fruitful career there? I mean, he was around for a long time, right? He was the man.
He was the man. Yeah. I think you know that. Why would
Well, no, no, no. Well, this is... I'm going back into a time capsule because this is like... I'm younger than I look. I'm like... I'm getting up there in age.
How old are you?
Late 40s. I'm in my late
40s. Wow. That is... You had to whisper it. So like you're gonna be 50 like
oh no soon. I'm not saying the 50 no but
so know, do you dye your hair or is no, that just no, natural
I, no well like what you're doing right beautiful. Now like what you're doing. Thank you Ron. There's grays, there's two grays that pop out on this side and maybe one or two or three, but when they're visible I stand in front of the mirror and I pluck it all the way out so it doesn't have a chance to grow.
So you're going to be like 90. You're going to probably be like 90, 92, right? You feel like...
So what are you implying? That I'm going to live a long time?
Yeah, because it's just how young you look. Yeah. Yes. I mean, I didn't want to be racist about it.
No.
That's exactly who I thought of, though.
Shout out to our main man, Pat Morita. Yeah. What people don't know is Pat Morita was actually an actor, but he was a stand-up comedian as well. Yeah. Did you see his documentary?
Yes, I... No, I saw clips of it, but I knew he was a stand-up.
Yeah.
Just like the guy from Law and Order.
Yeah. Okay. As far as your stand-up, like, when did you decide to follow that road? Like, do you remember the first mic you did or what made you want to do it?
I mean, I always wanted to do it, but I didn't think it was a real job. And then I had a son when I was 19, 20. And then I got a job at a bank. And then my son got diagnosed with autism. And then I was like, I need a real career. So I was like, I got to try something that I want to do for real. So stand-up was the only thing I knew I really loved. So I tried it like around Halloween one year in Portland.
Do you remember what year it was?
It would have been 2006 probably.
Oh, okay. So you started a little bit later.
What do you mean?
Well, because I'm just kind of I used my brother as like a, like, because, you know, I was around when he started.
Mm-hmm.
And he started in San Diego around 94, 95. Mm-hmm. He at the La Jolla Comedy Store.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, yeah. Bobby was already pretty famous before I started comedy, mm-hmm. for sure.
Do you like Bob?
Yeah, he's great. Mm-hmm. He's a little bit of a bully sometimes, but I think it's because of how he feels. Wait, not confident.
He was a bully towards you?
No, he tried to once, but then I think he felt like... that I can't really be bullied because I'm very very self-confident.
Yeah, calm.
So he did. So then he stopped trying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You remember the first time you met him? Like where it was, the context of it?
Probably Comedy Store. Yeah. I think it was a Comedy Store and he was really drunk and then he was hugging a lot of people.
So he was drunk.
Or something. I don't know.
Because he's sober now he was sober for like 17 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Now, do you come out of the Comedy Store like, you said your first mic was up, what'd you say, Portland or something?
Mm-hmm.
When did you, like, gravitate down here and, like, start doing more mics and getting in within the community?
Like, 30. So, like, 9 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was getting divorced from my first wife, and I needed a place to live, and I knew I wanted to, you know, either way, I wanted to see if I could really do stand up. And so it was a nice, like, double whammy of being like, oh, I'm getting divorced. I don't really have a place to live anyway. Mm-hmm. So I might as well move to LA and see.
Oh, you just did it. Yeah.
Moved out here. Yeah. Just me, car, clothes on my back.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And so did you hit up the improv? Like, how does that usually work? Do you just go to one place? Because everyone has their own story or trajectory.
I mean, I'd already done Conan and a couple of things. I haven't done a lot of things at that point, but I've been on Conan once and mm-hmm. had a couple TV credits for some small stand-up things. So
I skipped a couple steps there, though, because we went from Portland, and then you're like, to Conan. So what about in between? How did you get to the point where you got on Conan and all these shows?
I mean, it was really kind of calculated based off of the area that I lived in, because mm-hmm. I knew being in and the time that there was really strong comedy communities in Seattle and San Francisco, which usually there always is in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And so being in Portland, which is actually was a weaker comedy community at that time, my whole goal was to like go up to Seattle as quick as possible and do shows, and it allowed me to kind of meet a lot of people who were like still my peers to this day. So like I went to Seattle and I met people like Andy Haynes and Rory Scovel and just a lot of like Hari Kondapolu, and then I went down to San Francisco and I met people like Emily Heller and Chris Garcia and like all these people who I still like work with now. So
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
it was a lot about like doing a lot of festivals in those areas and doing shows in those areas, and getting respect and having comedians bring me out there and put me on shows there and let me sleep in their couches and stuff. So
yeah.
There's just that time period where I was like, oh, like I'm getting a lot of respect from people, but I'm not getting any money. But, you know, I knew that money was around the corner.
So would you say you need the respect more, and then second?
Well, I think you get the respect first.
You get the money second.
And then the money. Second, I mean, I think it's just an option. Some people get the money and never get the respect, and that's fine too, you know?
So you don't have to name any comedians. Okay. We don't want to do that. But that exists, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course.
Where a person is marketable, okay, and they establish their own fan base, but they don't have the respect,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so do you think they're aware of that, or they can give a rat's ass?
I think some people are aware of it.
Right, yeah, right.
Some people are aware of it, and they talk about it, and they get, and they really want it. And I, you know, that would suck to feel like that. And then I think some people kind of get off on it, and they go like, well, you don't have to. I'll just continue to work outside of it and continue to build my outside thing. And which I think is great. I'm always about building your own fan base and stuff, which I think, you know, like with the podcast and just building, bringing people in who wouldn't even normally, like, that's one of my favorite compliments when people go, this is my first stand-up show, or I don't even normally watch stand-up and stuff. I love that. But at the same time, I like to work within like the actual, like I love that I get to go to the Comedy Store, I get to go to the Improv. If I got to, you know, I'd like to go to the Cellar if I was ever in New York for a consistent period of time. Mm-hmm. So I like working within that framework and also building my own fan base. But I understand when people feel like they don't get the respect, so they just do the one, you know.
Right. Now, do you think that there's an oversaturation with comedians? Because it seems like every single comedian has to have a podcast, it seems like.
Well, I mean, to me, though, it's like saying, like, oh, like, well, every comedian's got a Twitter. It's just like, it's just a necessary part of the thing. Oh. Yeah, you know? So that's just how I look at it. If you don't, and then also, just I just don't do things I don't enjoy. So right. If my podcast, you know, which I tell my wife sometimes because she'll get so business minded about the podcast and be like, oh, we need to post this at this time and this. And, mm-hmm. and I'm just like, oh, it's not like, like that to me. Like
it's not a priority to you. It's just something.
It's a priority, but it's not my number one. It's not a top five. It's not even a top five priority. But
it's not even a top five. No. Because you got other things going on. Yeah. You're writing. You're doing shows. You're doing this and that.
I'm pitching. I'm acting. I'm dadding. Yeah. You know.
So as far as the Comedy Store, you got passed, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How did that go? How did that
happen? No, it was easy. I just was on Undateable. So then they passed me after I did a couple sets. It took like a week.
Who's they, though? Was Mitzi around? Like
no, what was the guy that everybody hated? What was his name with the hair? Yeah, that's him. Tommy. Yeah, he passed me.
Tommy passed you.
Yeah, Tommy passed me. I love Tommy.
Yeah,
thanks
so shout out to Tommy. We love Tommy. Shout out to Tommy. But Tommy eventually got fired.
He did.
And I don't want to get into it, but it had to do with money and taking money or something, right?
I don't know. I don't get into that.
Okay. Well, that's what I heard from the... Yeah. We could...
I just like, okay, this person doesn't work here anymore.
Yeah, but he was there for a long time, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
I was just always around it because I'd go see my brother's set. I would see this person's set. Mm-hmm. Who were some of the comedians you looked up to back then or still do, like, as far as who inspires you?
Like Tig Notaro. Mm-hmm. I love Tig Notaro. I think she's got a wonderful mind and just really taught me the power of being quiet and being, show me that you can be, you didn't have to be bombastic and be wild like that.
On stage? Now, when you do your set, do you do this calm demeanor?
It's a mix of things, you know?
Yeah.
It's all parts of me. I try to be sometimes get in your face about things. Yeah, and then
but
other
it's
times
usually
it's
just calming.
Mm-hmm. But I found that you can't do that for like an hour. Would you want to sit and listen to just this for an hour of stand-up?
Well, with you, your voice calms.
Your answer was, yes, yeah, okay!
does his voice, it's like ASMR, right? Your voice is so calming. It's just like, oh, okay, I'm okay. I'm okay now.
I like that sweet tart is affecting your speech.
Yeah. It's a sweet tart, but it calms me down. Nice. Yeah. So usually what happens is you need to be greenlit. You have to audition for the talent coordinator or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then what are the advantages of being a regular at the Comedy Store?
Oh, my favorite is just that you have a place to park on Sunset Boulevard.
And you get to do sets every night?
I mean, you know, now I kind of do. Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, before. And also, before I didn't really take it as serious. Sometimes I would, like, no call, no show some sets. And so then they would put me on ice for a few weeks, you know?
Right.
But then I learned to be more respectful about that.
So as far as the talent pool at the Comedy Store, how many comics are passed that are regulars and how many people go up every night? I always wondered that.
I mean, you see probably like a group of 5-10 people that you see every other week or that we'll see all the time that I'm there, whether it's like someone like Rick Ingram or Sarah Tiana.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Rick.
Yeah.
He's been here. When he was here, I was actually confused because he kind of put me on the spot and we're doing these weird games and he was just... But he's on the spectrum too, as well, right?
Is he? You see? I can see that.
Yeah,
I can see
and
that.
And then you mentioned your son being on the spectrum as far as autism. We just had a psychologist do an assessment with me and Jeremiah, and she said that I may have OCD. Because if you noticed, when I was at the fridge, every week I have to hit it 3 times,
mm-hmm.
and then if you notice on the piano, I had to wipe it out three times. Yeah. Mm. So I think that, I don't know, I might have to go see a psychiatrist or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. Did they say anything about Jeremiah having anything?
Yeah. With I have to be very careful because that's my partner here. With him, I think he has a whole different thing. His thing is he's the hardest working person I know mm-hmm. that I've ever met. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that with him, he's always working. He's always, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I brought this up. I said, I think that maybe that's kind of a coping mechanism because he, you know, sometimes people don't want to be like in stillness or, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Just mm-hmm. in their own thoughts. So I think that he takes it to the extreme. Yeah. Have you noticed anything like that going on with him or?
I mean, I wouldn't say that I spend enough time with him where I would mm-hmm. see that like that. Not like you.
I've spent a lot of time, like hotel rooms and yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. I could see that. Yes, mm-hmm. if you telling me that doesn't surprise me. Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you think the most fulfilling part is as far as what you do? Like, what's your like end goal? Like, where's like the end of the rainbow? Like, as far as what a comedian or actor or whatever is trying to accomplish just being out here in Los Angeles?
I mean, my whole end goal would just to be to have like a lasting legacy in comedy and also in positivity and being a good person and a free person. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I like to really do the things that I truly enjoy and that I'm passionate about, and hopefully they make me money, and I love it when they do, and I mm-hmm. love them to be extremely profitable, but I don't like to do things just for money. So I would like to hopefully just be able to like die in this industry of like continue to work and not die on some like hotel in the middle of some shitty
like River Phoenix or something.
Yeah, yeah. Or like Greg Giraldo, who I love, you know, and just let that
Brody too.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I was gonna open for Greg a couple of weeks after, like that was gonna be like my first hosting in Portland. It was supposed to be for Greg Giraldo. And then he passed away. And I just remember being like, oh, I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want to die in some hotel away from my family and stuff.
It seems like there's a common thread there with comedians, particularly even Chris Farley as well. I just saw a documentary on YouTube about mm-hmm. his life. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that he did drugs. You know, mm-hmm. he liked to party. Another one that pops up is Sam Kennison too, right? Mm-hmm. They all have that other side too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to be healthier mm-hmm. and have a, hopefully, like to me, like I never have to be like the most popular person, but if I could just have a long career and secretly be like, oh, did you know Ron was super successful? And people would be like, I didn't even know.
Right. Oh, so you want to kind of be under the radar. Mm-hmm. You kind of want to be kind of right there in the middle.
Yeah, just doing my thing, doing stand-up when I want, and just also having free time. I love traveling. Like, I love being able to go overseas, and even more is, like, I love if I can afford to take my family or people who can't afford to go without me, you know, and I love having that experience, so that takes a lot more money. So I want to be able to do, it's like, I love to sell shows and, like, kind of be in the background of that type of thing.
Now, where are some places you've gone that like that you really enjoyed and you want to return, like as far as globally as well? Like
I mean, always good company. It's just me and my wife both love Japan so much. We
really
talk about retiring in Japan if we could.
Tokyo, huh?
Kyoto would we prefer, really? Probably, yeah.
I've never been there. I've always wanted to go to Japan. I've been to Korea. Like, what are some awesome things about Japan? They got some weird machines there, right?
Yeah, weird machines. I love the machines.
Yeah.
I love that it has an embracing of, like, most nerddoms, and you see a lot of like, you wouldn't expect to be like, oh, like they have pristine NESs or Famicoms.
Yeah, I want to get to the video games as well.
Yeah, just all those types of things. And then just like a strong hip-hop scene and just a lot of
In Japan?
Yeah.
And there's Japanese hip hoppers.
Japanese hip hop, Japanese like really cool Japanese sneaker stores where they're stuck in the 90s.
Right,
and so
right.
They're
the,
all
the
about
Air Maxes. You get the Air Maxes there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they're just all about Michael Jordan and stuff. So it's super.
What about the food,
so it's pretty. And the food's amazing. It's wonderful.
Dude, like the ramen,
yeah.
All that,
the sushi,
right?
And the ramen and the green matcha and
oh
all.
Oh my God.
Just delicious snacks. And then you can go to a bunch of temples and stuff.
Yeah, so
good time. And they don't have guns.
Could you live out there? Do you think towards the end of
your guy had to build a gun to shoot somebody?
Yeah. So there's a lot of tradition and history there with Japan. You know, they had, you know, yakuza there, mm-hmm. And then the beautiful tattoos, mm-hmm. Even martial arts and stuff.
Yeah,
Aikido's from there.
Martial arts.
Aikido, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. How much is a ticket if I wanted to go to, how much is a ticket to Tokyo or Kyoto? Like,
I don't know. I mean, it depends on how you want to get there.
Do you need what about the language? Like,
not to Tokyo, but other places seem like more. Tokyo is very English friendly.
It is?
Very much so.
Yeah. So are there like just people, non-Japanese, that just like live out there? Obviously, there has to be like dudes from. Like Sweden might just live there.
Yeah,
like meet a woman.
Yeah, I mean,
his wife's
there's
Japanese.
A lot of people. Probably, you know, we all know the people from high school that were taking Japanese lessons and they loved it so much that they wanted to watch animes and stuff.
Oh hell
and
yeah!
And then they moved to Japan.
That's another thing. Anime, like the manga.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's big there, right?
Yeah.
Are you into comics as well?
I used to be, not as much as an adult, just because I thought it was a real investment into my retirement. And but then I found out that the value really wasn't what I thought it was.
You mean the value of the comic, those manga comics?
Yeah, I would keep tracking the wizards and the things and... Then when I try to go sell them, they'd be like, no, here's less than half of that. And it broke my heart.
Yeah.
You know? And so I was like, I
got
to get out of this game.
How big was your collection of manga?
I mean, not that big. I probably just had like 2 or 3 long boxes. I had some couple Spider-Mans that had some first appearances of a few people, villains or whatever. But like nothing. I think the most expensive book I sold was like $200.
Okay. So, yeah. And then I wanted to get to video games because we mentioned video games and I was playing.
Got your Series X.
Yeah, I got my.
Yeah.
How do you? Oh, you know about that machine? I'm sorry, Ron.
Oh, you're familiar with this?
Yeah.
Component.
That was an investment. Yeah.
Yeah.
So shout out to Banana Steve. He works for Microsoft.
Okay.
And he got me the deal.
Oh, nice.
So I've always wondered this about people into games. What are some of your all-time favorites? Think about it.
Super Mario 3 is probably my favorite game. Super Mario World. There's a lot of Super Marios in there.
So you're into the Mario thing.
I like the Marios.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
No RPGs? I'm just throwing it out there. No RPGs? Grand
of
Theft
all time?
Grand Theft Autos?
I mean, my favorite RPG is probably Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door on the GameCube. It's
Dang,
more
you're bringing it back to the GameCube.
Yeah,
okay.
That's probably my favorite RPG.
Did you have the old Nintendo?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
So do you remember, since we brought Nintendo up, Excitebike,
mm-hmm.
Kid Icarus.
Yes.
Metroid.
Yes.
Kung Fu.
That was a game.
Contra.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Bart versus the Space Mutants.
Yeah. So you remember all that.
Yeah.
Now, if I...
I have got good memory.
Do you still collect console? Do you have a collection
of...
You have gaming consoles.
I got a bunch of gaming consoles.
Oh, so what? Can you name a few? This is interesting to me.
I have the Series X, and I have a PlayStation 5, and then I have like a couple... Maybe 2 or 3 PlayStation 4s, like a Death Stranding limited edition one that I got from doing a promotion with them, and then I got the limited edition anniversary one that's like all blue and see through, and it's real cool. That's probably one of my favorites.
You own these right now?
Yeah, they're in my closet. We need to organize them, but they're in my closet. In my son's room, he has a PlayStation 2. He has a 360, and
he has a
Series X.
Oh, he's got one of these?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What kind of games he playing?
Right now he's playing Saints Row.
Oh, what's that game? I've been seeing posters
it's
about
like
that.
Grand Theft Auto, but
really?
Sillier. It's not a good game, but he He wanted it so bad that he's like, it's good.
Yeah,
and I'm
yeah.
like, I know it's not good. I know it's not. I can tell by the graphics. And
no. Not good. God, GTA, man, you're bringing back memories, man. Because mm-hmm. I used to just play that game, and I'd play it different.
Mm-hmm.
I would just snipe people. I'd go find the highest place. Mm-hmm. And then I remember sniping people in their through the window, and their heads would hit the dash. They go, and then...
Yeah, you then, play in a way that would have made me concerned about you. Right, like
time
you need
stamp that part.
Someone to talk
there
to.
There was some, yeah, there was some anger issues there. Yeah,
yeah,
sure. That's when I lived in the smaller
when people,
apartment.
I've seen it before when you had that friend who plays Grand Theft Auto
yeah,
and they don't
that?
Even try to start a mission. They
no,
just,
they just go on a rampage.
Yeah.
So
which
that,
is fine. People go on rampages, but then
I mean,
some people get real.
Because there's a star kind of a meter, right? Mm-hmm. If you get past 4 or 5 stars, then the army or the,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? The
yeah,
SWAT team.
Tanks and trucks.
Yeah.
yeah.
So would you say this, because, you know, this exists in society, like school shooters or
mm-hmm.
whatnot. Do you think that if they had that outlet, like a war zone or a Grand Theft Auto,
mm-hmm.
they would have done that act?
Probably, yeah. I mean, I think they did have it. They still have it. And they
so
do
you're
it.
Saying that didn't satisfy them? They had to go above and beyond and do that other, the real act of doing that?
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of people with, I don't know. I mean, a lot of mental issues and a lot of access to guns.
Yeah.
So I think if you put the two of them together, you're bound to have trouble. I don't think video games has really anything to do with it.
No. I'm saying that maybe a video game like a first-person shooter could mm-hmm. prevent you from doing the real act because you're doing it, you're kind of expressing it through the video game.
I mean, that's a, I mean, I'm willing to try.
Because I play Warzone every night.
Mm-hmm.
When you guys leave, I'm going to load in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it desensitizes me. Like, because I'm so used to, you know, I set my proximity mines mm-hmm. and then I go, you know, and I do my thing. I camp and I shoot. People and mm-hmm. in the game, but it's do you think that's like a problem, like a problematic thing, games like that?
No, I think it's fine for you. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like, as long as you go outside and walk around, I feel like your room's a little small for you to
yeah.
just do that and have that be everything.
What, this?
Yeah, then I'd be
no,
worried.
No, I don't only do this. Okay. I have a girlfriend, I have yeah. Yeah, I'm doing stuff with Jeremiah. Yeah. I don't just
Yeah,
but
I would just say keep it
outlet.
In balance.
Yeah. But this is the thing, is another thing why I like gaming is there's a community.
Mm-hmm.
There's a social aspect,
mm-hmm.
and I get to bro down with you. You know what I mean? Catch
yeah,
up with people.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
That's why I like to do my Twitch that
yeah.
I do.
Oh, let's plug your Twitch. Are you still doing that?
Yeah.
Can we plug it real quick?
Sure. If you
okay,
want
go
to.
Ahead, Ron.
Hi.
Okay.
Come to my Twitch.
Yeah.
Twitch.tv, Ron_Funches. Join the Funch Bunch. We play games of all type. And we talk about snacks. We're real upset about the Choco Taco going away.
Oh, is it going away?
It did go away.
I grew up with that stuff.
Yeah,
man.
We love
the Choco Taco, man. The
mm-hmm.
waffle cone.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's also one of my dreams, is to have an artisanal ice cream truck that sells homemade, healthier versions of those classic treats, like the strawberry
yeah.
shortcake bar.
I remember that.
Choco
there's
Taco.
Like, there's that crunchy stuff on the outside of
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I love that.
I want to figure out that crunchy stuff.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't know.
It's kind of in between a waffle cone, but breaded kind
it's
of. Yeah, what
it
is
could
that?
Be cookie.
It
could
be
cake.
Anything.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I want to figure it out. And I want to make it
I've
better.
I've had hundreds of those.
Yeah,
those were. Do they still sell those?
I'm quite sure they do.
Write down strawberry shortcake. Yeah, that ice cream snack.
Yeah.
Now I had a couple questions about Twitch. I know I've been procrastinating. Why? When did you get started with that?
I got started with it over the pandemic, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of friends telling me to get involved with it beforehand, mm-hmm. but I just didn't want to have to entertain people while I play games because I like playing games to relax.
Mm-hmm.
But then I found out that I liked especially in the pandemic, I liked the community aspect. It helped me reconnect with some friends that I hadn't talked to
mm-hmm.
in a long time and meet a bunch of new friends. And it's really cool now that like some of the people travel from, like, I'm getting ready to do this weed show in town.
You smoke?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't. I'm sorry. How long have you been
what
smoking?
What about me made you feel like this guy doesn't smoke weed?
I thought you were just... So, let me ask you this. When you're not smoking weed, are you
I
this calm?
I was so hot. Did you see the comments of the Scissor Bros episode?
No, I don't really read the comments. So, you were high?
I was very high that time.
I couldn't tell.
I was so high.
I was like, okay, since you...
beyond the normal amount of high.
Really?
Yeah.
So, hold up. Thanks for confessing that. Well, so you're high when you were with Jeremiah and me. The,
mm-hmm.
Really?
I had to be.
That's right. You have to, right?
Yeah.
To endure that.
To go, I mean, to get in the right mind state.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call it enduring, but to you meet you all at your level.
At that level.
I need to get
what
real
are you
high.
Saying? You're implying that the Scissor Bros podcast already has an iry feel about
mm-hmm.
it? Really?
Yeah.
We don't do any of that.
I know.
I used to love blunts.
Mm.
Yeah, I used to.
Never been a blunt guy.
No,
well, I was when I was a teen, but then I was associated then with feeling gross, feeling dirty.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always prefer bongs or vaping and stuff like that.
No, are there, there's certain like vape pens with
mm-hmm.
marijuana. Is it a dab vape things?
Oh, yeah, I mean, there's vape pens and
vape
rigs.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
How high would I get, because I haven't smoked in about 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
If I hit that, what would it do to me?
You get too high and you probably have a panic attack. I probably don't recommend it from what
really?
You're telling me about it's your OCD and
mm-hmm.
stuff. I would probably say, if anything, you want a light edible of 5 milligrams or so of an indica.
You know the difference between strands and stuff. Yeah.
Well, I can tell you that, and then I could tell you that because of all the things going on
mm-hmm.
with mixing and matching, that everything's basically a hybrid now. That the indica and the sativa things are more of a marketing thing, and it's all about turpentines and terps and shit like that now.
What are cookies? What's cookies?
Cookies is a brand
uh-huh.
run by a rapper named Burner,
mm-hmm.
who is on the cover of Forbes.
Really?
And so that's pretty cool.
So does the weed taste like cookies?
No, it depends on the brand that they do, but they
mm-hmm.
have different flavors that taste pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
They used to have my favorite weed, which was a Gelato 41, was my favorite.
God, that
they
sounds
made.
So good to me.
I know, right?
I know.
It's a fun name.
You know what I'm realizing? I got sober during the wrong era.
Why? Because of the pandemic?
Well, mm-hmm. no, because I like 14, 15 years clean. These dispensaries around
mm-hmm.
here never. We're almost there, Ron. We're getting there.
I got a baby.
They never existed when I was around.
Mm-hmm.
So I get sober nowadays. You could just go anywhere and just. Do you have to have a license
mm-mm.
to? So how do? If I wanted to, or anyone could just go in there and get
mm-hmm.
any. Really?
Yeah, you're almost 50.
I
think they'll let
That's
you
great
have
timing.
It.
That's great timing. So I'm guessing, dude, let's just play this out hypothetically. Let's say I got diagnosed with something terminal, right?
Okay.
And I'm like, I have 3 years to live.
I'm on board.
I could smoke a little, right? No.
Yeah. Why not?
Right. I mean, because
yeah.
if I know it's the end, right? I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure my recovery people won't like, you know.
No,
like
not at that point.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, so do you think, could it help me? Could it help me, like, just lower my stress?
Yeah, for sure.
Are you high right now a little bit?
A little bit.
Okay.
But
really?
Not a lot.
Really? Well, I mean, but I can't tell. You're normally just chill like this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes it very helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, can you do comedy high?
Yeah. Some, you know, not super high.
Yeah.
It depends on how comfortable I am and what I'm doing. I wouldn't record a special high, and I wouldn't, I don't. Act high,
yeah,
but I
but
that's
you
about
could
it.
Right. Do you remember, was there any set that you've done where you're too high and you realized that on stage and you're
yeah,
like,
yeah, of course.
And then how do you deal with the crowd when that happens, something like that?
You just tell them about it. I mean, that
and you're
one
honest
my,
about it.
Yeah, one of my favorite experiences is that
mm-hmm.
I had some edibles when I went to Japan. I took them with me and I was on vacation.
You could take them on the airplane?
No, you're not supposed to.
Okay, 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 okay. Thanks for your honesty. Keep going.
And so I went to this open mic in Osaka, Japan. I thought I was just going to hang out, watch some comedians, and like maybe go up and do a few minutes. And but when you know how like small comedy club owners are, they find out that somebody who's on TV is in their thing, and all of a sudden it's the Ron Funches show featuring. Oh,
the pressure.
Yeah.
That elevates you to that. Yeah, headliner.
And I didn't know that. Yeah.
Wait, what do you mean you didn't know that?
I thought I was just coming by.
No, well, you're on the billboard.
When I get there.
So your manager booked you?
No.
Oh, dude, so you had just ended up being there?
I was just on vacation.
Wait, hold up. You were on vacation, and one night, you know, I'll do a mic.
No, I said we might go buy a mic, and then our tour guide said that he knew a place where they did English comedy.
English comedy.
And so then we said, oh, we might go by. And I think he found out my name and told the person.
The promoter.
And then the promoter looked up my name and was oh, this guy's on TV. And
oh, no.
And so then it became like, okay, we're going to put like five people in front of you. And then you go up at the end. And I had done like 60 milligrams of edibles.
Oh.
And I hadn't done stand up in about 2.5 weeks, and I'm on vacation.
Yeah, you're on vacation.
Yeah.
So what did that do to you once you knew the situation?
It freaked me out. I could riff for like 5 minutes, and then as soon as I tried to remember a joke, I couldn't. Couldn't remember a single joke. Not a single one of my jokes.
So your mind went blank.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So how many people were out in the crowd?
Like 15.
15.
Not that many.
Yeah, but still, it's the situation.
Yeah, and they were also comedians, so they were judging me, you know.
Oh.
And then one of them were like, a couple of them were like drag queens on their night off getting ready because they had a show there the next day.
Oh,
and they were the meanest about it.
What, were they heckling you?
Nah, but at one point they said, you can be done now.
You can be done now.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with that? Because that's a lot of different energies getting thrown at you. You're on stage. Mm-hmm. You're on something 60 milligrams of edibles.
And my wife's pissed.
Why is your wife pissed?
Because I'm not doing well. And I'm causing attention to come upon her.
You're
and
high,
I'm asking
though.
Her
yeah, you're high.
To help me remember jokes.
So from the side of the stage, what's your wife's name?
Christina.
Christina, you're asking her if she remembered the punchline or
setups.
Or the setups.
Yeah.
God, that sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah.
How did you get through that? How long was your set?
Like 10 minutes.
10 minutes, and you just endured.
Yeah, I just endured and messed around, but then I loved it because I was like,
that's a great attitude, man.
Like, successful comedian, and I just bombed my ass off in the open mic in Osaka, Japan. I never thought I would be in Osaka, Japan doing stand up and let alone bombing. And then I just went and got fun Japanese ice cream at the 7-Eleven next door and tried to convince my wife not to be mad at me because I was like, you do get that this is a great story. Like,
that's a great story.
I bombed. It's much better. It's so much more. Like I just go, when I go to the comedy store and stuff, I don't get the bomb. I don't want a bomb. I could bomb here. And it
right.
was fine.
It you did it in
care.
Osaka.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, since you brought that up, like, because I'm sure there might be a person wanting to do comedy, start it up. That's a part of the whole thing, right? Is bombing.
Of course.
How did you first deal with that? Do you remember your first bomb?
I don't remember my first one, no, but I remember a lot of bombing early, especially when you're figuring out who you are, and especially for me, because I'm kind of different in a lot of regards. So when you don't have any type of, like, notoriety or name, people are automatically going to be like, this is weird and I don't like it, you know?
Mm.
So I had to get through a lot of people's expectations at first.
Mm-hmm.
But I think bombing is actually, I mean, it really even informs the way I'm going to like parent my son and stuff. It's just
really what
just
ways?
Push people to try and show you that so that you when you fail you can see that it doesn't kill you. Like for me, a lot of my fear for even wanting to start stand up was that I was afraid that I wouldn't be good. So then I didn't I was afraid that I was wrong about what I thought what my calling was.
Right, right. That's interesting, man. So how did you deal with it? Do you just, when you realize you're not doing well, mm-hmm. do you panic inside or do you just kind of plow through it?
I used to plow through it, but then watching Marc Maron a few times and him, the way he was present about addressing the audience if things weren't the way he thought they should go or what he expected to. And so I've learned more to have fun and enjoy myself and like mm-hmm. I try never to go on autopilot. I try to like, if you're not liking me, like I'll bring it up. It's fine. It doesn't, especially now, because I'm like, oh, I like my life. I like myself. I like my comedy. Mm-hmm. So if you don't like it, that's fine.
Yeah.
You're probably wrong, but that's fine.
You have a great attitude, man.
Thank
That's
you.
A great attitude, man.
Because
I'm sure there's a lot of comedians, they take it personally.
Mm-hmm.
They get offended. And it's not an easy thing to kind of go through. I mean, not everyone's like you, a lot of people.
I get like that too, though, because I'm like, oh, I don't get enough fans come out. Why am I doing a lot of clubs? I want to do theaters and all that stuff. And then mm-hmm. sometimes... it's just perspective. And other times I get this mindset and I'm like, you're a fucking almost 40-year-old guy who mostly does jokes about like rugrats and how you have a pretty adjusted life. It's nothing fucking mm-hmm. like, you know, and you still get a good fan base out of this. It's wild that anybody comes to see me for the how like particularly niche and how I just talk about whatever the fuck I want, you know?
Yeah,
so,
amazing.
Like, the fact that I give, like, 50-year-old, 60, not to be rude to you, but 60-year-old people who come out and listen to me do, like, a 10-minute chunk about Rugrats mm-hmm. is, like,
I think that's fantastic, yeah. man. Yeah. Now, what advice would you give a, you know, comic starting out right now who they might watch this interview, mm-hmm. like, what kind of like advice could you give them?
I don't think I can. Like,
you know, I mean, because you were saying some enlightening stuff just now, as far as just like your perspective,
yeah,
your attitude towards it.
Yeah, but I don't have practical advice. My always the same advice is just do what makes you happy, because mm-hmm. it's a long haul either way. So if you spend 15 years doing shit that you think is shitty just so that you can make it, you're going to have a negative attitude.
Right.
If anything positive happens, so you might as well enjoy
the journey.
All aspects
mm-hmm.
of it. Yeah. And,
yeah.
And live a lifestyle that makes it so you can enjoy it. You know, mm-hmm. you don't overextend yourself and don't put yourself where you need too much money so you have to do things you don't want to do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a bonus, like, because I know we've all worked jobs, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's why I'm really grateful that I get to have a YouTube channel and just post videos, and I don't have to wash dishes anymore.
Yeah.
At least for now.
Yeah.
Now, do
but
you
that's
work?
Good
yeah.
to have the wolves down your back. It keeps you motivated.
Well, because I know what I have to go back to.
Mm-hmm.
I worked at Fat Sal's for a minute.
Oh, really?
Oh.
When was this?
After 2011, 12, 13, 2000, mm-hmm. somewhere, you know, Zane, shout out to Zane, hired me. You know who kind of trained me? I work with is Punky.
Mm.
She, and then I realized later she got SNL.
Mm-hmm.
She actually trained me to, you know, bag the stuff up, work the register. But that blew my mind. I'm like, oh my gosh, she's on SNL now.
Yeah, Punky's great.
Yeah.
yeah.
So
Punky's
that's why
real.
I'm really grateful that now I get to just, you know, kind of do my own thing, you know. Do you have specials out right now?
I do. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. Can we like promote some of that
sure,
stuff? Yeah, yeah.
Perfect.
Cause I like my guests to kind of.
It's actually a great time. And Comedy Central put out both my specials, my half hour and my hour called Giggle Fit are now available on YouTube. So it's an easy find. Just put my name, Ron Funches, or just put Giggle Fit. And
can
you
spell out the last name?
My name?
Yeah.
Sure. Funches.
And how do you pronounce? Did I pronounce it
you
correctly?
You did. Funches.
Funches.
Yeah, not like before when you said funges on the thing.
I said funges?
On the scissor brush.
You know what's cool about you is when I used to wrestle in Poway, a guy that wrestled at like 175 pounds, he was a bald white guy, Irish looking. His name was Ross Funges.
Why is Ross that cool Fungus. About me?
No, it's cool because it's like I can correlate it to my childhood. Like, oh, Ross, Ron. But I remember during, sorry for the story. Well, I'll keep it short. During San Diego sections of the finals, right? We're getting ready for the finals. We had both made, respectively, in our own weight class, are the finals. Mm-hmm. So it's like the grand night, whatever. The mm-hmm. final. And I remember the guy he had to wrestle was, do you remember Saved by the Bell?
Yeah.
Do you remember that a Latino guy, Mario?
Mario Lopez.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Mario Lopez had to wrestle Ross. Mm. And I remember hearing this because we were outside kind of walking by them. And then we heard their conversation. He's like, who are you wrestling in the finals? And this is Mario talking. And he, you know what he said? He goes, oh, some guy named Ross Fungus. And I just remember, like, I remember how interesting that was to me. I'm like, that's not his name, you know.
Mm-hmm. Who won?
Ross.
Hell yeah, Ross.
But yeah, but can I tell you the breakdown? Okay, so there's a CIF, right? Then there's Masters. So CIF, County, San Diego section. Top six in each weight class goes to Masters. Top four in each weight class goes to State, the State tournament. Mm-hmm. Ross, Mario took eighth. Mm. And Ross even beat him. Ross took fifth. I choked. I always choked. I always choked at State. Always. Mm. I'm trying to
Too
think
much
of an
pressure.
Analogy. Yeah, and this is going back to, I mean, this is something that you could, it's a parallel, you could use it. I'm sorry. We're almost there, buddy. With comedy in the sense that it's kind of like you do all these great shows, but then just because, and then someone says, do you want to do this, the Wiltern or like a bigger amphitheater? And then you know your stuff, you know you're good, but then you get psyched out because, oh no, that stage is too big.
Mm-hmm.
And so every guy that I wrestled, I had beaten throughout the year. And I just remember, it's kind of like this. It's like, imagine you're on a huge stage and you go up and grab your mic to do your set and nothing comes out.
Mm.
You're literally frozen, just staring. So that's how I was at State. Like, the ref would blow their whistle and I would freeze. Next thing you know, this guy's, you know, I'm getting slammed and I'm just frozen. Yeah.
Mm.
Only at the State tournament. Only there. Mm. The rest of the year, I was fine. I was placing every tournament first. All that is always at the State tournament. Sorry about the Ross and Ron Funch. I just thought
it's fine.
It just. I
just
made
feel
the connection
bad for you because it feels like
why
it.
Why do you feel bad?
Because it feels like it really affected you that you choked at the big time.
How many times have I brought this story? I'm gonna ask my intern. How many times have I brought this story up?
Recently?
No. Overall, since you've been here.
Couple times.
Your new intern?
Oh, she's awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, she's awesome. Yeah, she's made it a year.
Do you make this? How is this so corporate? What is she learning?
Oh man, you want to go through the trajectory real quick? She learned how to use all the equipment, you know, through trial and error. Now she's learning
through
how to
trial and error.
No. One error. Maybe one error. She's been perfect.
Okay.
All right, you've been practically perfect.
Okay.
Only one episode.
Okay.
All right? Out of how many?
What program do you find an intern?
That's a good question.
Great question.
On my Instagram, because I had another intern, and I'm like, oh, if he gets sick, maybe I'd want a backup. He slowly phased out, and then she's my intern now.
Okay.
And so we interviewed her, me and, Craig.
Yeah.
Yeah, me and Craig, he helped. We both showed up. And
okay.
We interviewed her, and she fit the bill.
Okay.
And now she knows how to use all the equipment. She knows how to do the time stamp. Yeah.
Okay.
She's doing great. Yeah.
So you're trying to get your own podcast going?
She
or
will one day.
One day
she will. One day she will, yeah.
Okay.
All right, so time had flown by.
Really?
Yeah. At this moment, I wanted to get you to promote all your stuff.
Okay.
Your Instagram, sure. website, special, all that stuff.
Sure.
Take your time, too. Take your time.
Well, the Instagram mm-hmm. is at Ron Funch, which is my full name, but without the E-S. Mm-hmm. So just R-O-N-F-U-N-C-H. Mm-hmm. And then Twitter is at Ron Funch's. The Twitch again is Ron_Funches. Mm-hmm. It used to be just regular Ron Funches, but then I forgot the password and just freaked out about it. So I just created a whole new account. So that was my mistake. Mm-hmm. But please just come over there. It's not too difficult mm-hmm. to find. I'm on an Apple TV Plus show called Loot with Maya Rudolph that got renewed for second season. So please check out the first season now.
Congratulations on that.
I'm on a show called Harley Quinn mm-hmm. on HBO Max where I play King Shark. People can check that out. I do stand up. My tour's just ending, so just, I guess, see me in LA mm-hmm. if you want, or just go to RonFunches.com and mm-hmm. I might be coming to your town sometime soon. Anything else? I think that's it. I think that seems about it. Oh, so my podcast. I have two podcasts.
Come on, man. Don't forget. Let's plug that.
Getting Better is my main podcast. We talk about getting better at life and stuff with a bunch of fun people. It's just a fun time about positivity and optimism. Mm-hmm. And then I have a pro wrestling podcast I do with Spotify Live, mm-hmm. live every Sunday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Mm-hmm. I call it the cross section of sports and entertainment.
Nice.
I bring on wrestlers. I bring on people who love wrestling and entertainment. Mm-hmm. And we just talk about the week in wrestling.
That's awesome, man. So do you upload weekly on your YouTube channel as well?
For the mm-hmm. podcast and mm-hmm. for clips and stuff. Mm-hmm.
And can you say the YouTube channel again?
So it's just Ron Funches. Come Ron subscribe. Funches, yeah. It could use a boost, please.
Mm-hmm. Dude, thanks for coming through, man.
Thanks for having me.
That was fun, man. Thanks again for tuning in for another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. If you want to help support the platform, go to patreon.com/Stevie Weeby. I also do another podcast with our friend Jeremiah Watkins called Scissor Bros.
Mm-hmm.
Those episodes drop every Friday, 6 in the morning. Go to youtube.com/Scissor Bros. Okay? Subscribe to that channel as well. We do also have a P.O. box. I do. So if you want to send packages, mail, anything, send all your stuff over to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California, 90093.
Anybody ever send you anything real fun?
Oh, dude, I've gotten up. Dude, see that Transformers lunchbox?
Yeah, that is fun.
Someone sent that.
That's okay.
And guess what?
Wow.
Later on, someone sent a GOAT. Remember GoBots?
Yes.
Someone sent me a GoBots lunchbox. I've gotten so many crazy things. What else? Skateboards, a lot of art,
mm-hmm.
Fan art, stuff like that. Yeah. You got a P.O. box?
No.
Dude, you should get one.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. You'll like it. So send your packages and mail today over to that P.O. box. I haven't haven't been over there in a while, but I'll go very soon. All my music stuff, stevieweebybandcamp.com. I have a few albums on Spotify now under the moniker Q-U-A-N-G-O-U. What time did we start this
podcast? How do you pronounce that?
Kwangu.
Yeah. Every time I see it, I've always been pronouncing it Kwangu. So I really was off about that.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Did we start at earlier than 9, huh? So we made an hour. Dude, it was an honor having you, brother.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Hell yeah, that was fun.
You're enjoyable. Oh, it's still going.